Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bet Online is your number one source for all sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on all the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here. Peyton needs to step up big time. Isaiah still has time. But Peyton Turner, man, that's an indictment on him as a defensive end for the Saints and what they think about him when they went and got Chase Young. I'm telling you. All right, anyway. Which number nine, which second-year drafted player takes the biggest leap for the Saints out of Brian Brisey, Isaiah Foskey, Kendre Miller, Nick Saldivari, Jake Haner, Jordan Howden, A.T. Perry? Now, this is by far the most difficult question that Jay Hendricks has placed so far. All right, which second-year player takes the biggest leap out of Brisey, Foskey? It won't be Foskey, okay, unless injuries hit. Kendre Miller. He's third in the depth chart line behind Elvin Jamal Williams, and then Taysom Hill's going to be in the mix. So I can see Kendre having a part, but I don't see him having a big leap, biggest leap out of the rest of them. Nick Saldivari is a question mark because we don't know what Nick Saldivari is doing, even though he's in position right now. Jake Haner will be more of on the backup side. Jordan Howden's a good question. Jordan Howden, can Jordan Howden step up and really get to that next level? He was a rookie last year. He's coming into his sophomore year. Remember, that sophomore year thing is big. As a secondary member, he's had Alante Taylor coming out of his sophomore year. They struggle. Players struggle, all of them. Players struggle in the second year. It's first to the second and to the third. It's a rite of passage almost. It's like you got to walk on coals, that type of stuff. It's a struggle in the second year. Go from the first to the third. Going into that, so remember that. And A.T. Perry is another dude. Can A.T. Perry continue to do what he do? Now, A.T. Perry is not just a tall wide receiver. A.T. Perry has speed. So by all indications, A.T. Perry should take Cedric Wilson, the veteran coming in here, as a competition. Now, if A.T. Perry was on his game like he's supposed to, he should catch every damn thing they throw to him. He should have gotten stronger. He got the size and the speed to be a part of the Saints' three wide receiver look, which includes Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Should be A.T. Perry. But we'll see. But the biggest, I got to go Brian Brisey. I got to go Brian Brisey when we're talking which will have the biggest leap. One with Brian Brisey, because I think Brian Brisey last year, he had to prove a lot of people wrong about his endurance. He's also going into his sophomore. But I like Brian Brisey, his aggression, his intelligence. Love the way he played. The kid plays football. He's tough. He's physical. He's mean. He's nasty. He's athletic. And he has linebacker speed playing the D-tackle position. He's a handful to block. I'm going with Brian Brisey. I think, and I've said this early on in the offseason, I think Brian Brisey should push to get that starting job next to Saunders. That's what I think he should be able to do, because Nate Shepard, to me, should be a rotational guy. I think Brian Brisey carrying a first round grade should be the guy that step up and take that starting that other tackle position. I think that would be big for the Saints interior defensive line. Not only have big guys that can stuff the run, but they also provide a push up the middle. So it's not just edge put pressure, it's also interior pressure for these guys. And they don't look quarterbacks, none of them guys like interior pressure. Like, you can have four linemen, and all four of those linemen, if it's Chase Young, Carl Granderson, Brissee, and Colin Saunders, and they all putting pressure on the front five of the opponent, man, you can drop your linebackers in the coverage, man. You can blitz them if you want to, keeping them clean. When you can get pressure with four, man, the Saints defense look like new money. They look like new money. So I'm going to go with Brian Brissee on that one. That's my call. What you say? Number nine, which second-year drafted player takes the biggest leap for the Saints? Well, I already said that. I'm tripping. All right, number 10. When will we get a definite answer, update on Ryan Ramczyk's future? Now, listen, we'll get it in training camp. Now, I don't know if they'll say he's going to retire. What they'll more than likely do is they'll probably pup list him, right, toward the later on in the season. Now, see, this is the problem. You got to go ahead on and just call it what it is. This is Ryan Ramczyk. And Dennis Allen said this the last time they gave us an update on Ramczyk. Ramczyk should be, he should have been already placed on IR, and Ramczyk should already have been getting that surgery. He did a minor surgery, which I think he did like a scope or a clean out or whatever the report was indicating. But they were saying that he was supposed to get major surgery on that knee. He needed major surgery, which means that he would not be able to play football for this year, and more than likely he would have to walk on that. He would have to rehab that thing and come back, maybe try it next year or whatever, depending on the timeline. Now, had he committed and did this early on, he could be well into the process. If he would have did this at the start of the year, he would be well into the rehab process already. He'd be well into it already. But this lingering thing, Ryan Ramczyk can't plan on that knee like that. It was, and listen, the cold-blooded part about it is there were reports saying that they were shooting him up something fierce, and it still didn't work. They were shooting him up with painkiller, probably the same stuff they were shooting Derek Carr up with, shooting four or five shots in his back and in his ribs to dull the pain so he can go out and play. They were doing that to Ramczyk. Ramczyk still couldn't play. But what the hell does that tell you? At some point, somebody got to pull the trigger and say, Ram, listen, man, go see about yourself, man, and stop playing these games. Go see about yourself. This is a goddamn game. This is a game. If you won't walk straight or walk good for the rest of your damn life, go handle your business. This is a game. Somebody got to have that talk. So at some point in training camp, this got to happen. Enough of this, man. Ramczyk can't help us right now. I wish he could, because I like Ram. But it's time for real life discussion with Ramczyk right now. He needs to be placed on IR. He needs to go get that major surgery on that knee. Get into your rehab. And then by the time you come off of that, I think Ram will still be under contract with the Saints. So he'll still be young enough to still continue a career if possible. But he done made a lot of money, man. Hopefully he put his money away and did what he was supposed to do with it. To be honest with you, because he already got his replacements. You already got two. Oh, you think you're going to sit them other guys down? You already got these guys. And once Pennant starts shining for cheaper money, man, no. Go sit down, Ram, and go take care of yourself, bro. So, yeah, my thing is, my call is, because the Saints never tell it like, they don't tell it straight most of the time. They're going to come out probably IR him, and then we're going to look at him and see how he look later on, and then if he looks such and such, all that kind of nonsense. No, go ahead on, get him up out of here. Go ahead, place him on IR, period. Go get the surgery. Go see about yourself, Ram. Go see about yourself, bro, for real. All right, number 11, how will the offensive line come along during training camp? How the line looking? That's a good question, because this kind of leans into number four, the question that he asked at number four, which was, aside from Kubiak, which new offensive line coach makes the biggest impact in his first year? I go back to John Benton, offensive line. John Benton's a very good offensive line. He said that he has the right offensive lineman in the Saints uniform to be able to take care of business and run his system. They have athletic, mean, big offensive linemen that can move and get to certain areas of the field, cut off pursuit, open up, you know, get to spots before defenders get there, and then also cut off pursuit so that runners have an opportunity to get to the next level unabated. That's John Benton's system. Now, he does have that. Nobody's going to say Trevor Penning is not nasty and then he's not that athletic and he's not strong. He just hadn't put the game together. Now, if you feed into his best attributes, just like you do to Lisi Fuaga, the rest of these guys like a Nick Saldiveri, all those guys know how to run block and they're athletic. They can move, all of them. McCoy, Ruiz, all those guys can move. So that seems to be the prerequisite. John Benton to have success, those guys have to be big, strong, and have temperament, and those guys do. So they have to develop that. I do like the nastiness that Fuaga plays with and Penning plays with. I like that. Hopefully that translates across the entire offensive line. It's far too often we've seen last year under Marone, the offensive line didn't have any attitude. You can't have a milquetoast bullshit mentality when you're trying to run football. Don't work like that. Don't work like that at all. All right, anyway, let's keep it popping and pushing. Number 12, outside of the offensive line, what position group still needs the most attention and has the most to improve? Outside the offensive line, which position group still has the most attention? Needs the most attention and has the most to improve outside the offensive line. Outside the O-line, it's attention. All right. Damn, that's a good one. Think about it. It's the most attention. The defensive line, defensive ends or tackles. We can use another veteran interior lineman. Not the linebackers. I think we're in good shape with the linebackers. Not the cornerbacks and secondary. Secondary is all right. I'm not mad at the secondary. Somebody that's in there. Got Chris Harris. What's his name? He's there. I'm going to have to go with the tight ends. I'm going to have to go with the tight end group. Needs the most attention. Now, I ain't going to say they need the most attention, but Juwan Johnson got to step up. Last year was kind of off for him. He didn't have a camaraderie with QB. A lot of them didn't do it on because of the missed. It just was all junk. We need more from the tight ends, ain't no doubt. I want to push everybody aside. We know the offensive line sticking point. The running back room is awesome with Taysom Hill there. The wide receiver room has solid people there. Wouldn't be mad if they got another vet wide receiver to compete there. But I'm calling out the tight ends. Tight ends, if you take Taysom out of the tight end room, put him and give him his own flex position, the tight end room to me needs to step up. Juwan Johnson had an injury. They said he's supposed to be good for training camp. He needs to step the hell up. Foster Monroe coming off the cancer last year, kind of gave him a pass with his kind of play. We need him to play better. And then behind those guys, somebody else needs to step up and move forward and to do something. Is that the kid, Dalen Hawker? That's the pick there because there's a spot right there for him to step in to be the third tight end, whatnot. Yeah, I'm calling out the tight ends, man. For this to work well, we need our tight ends to step up. We need to supposed to do catch the goddamn ball strong to him. We need that to happen. We need better production. You know, I'm calling them out. Tight ends, we need better production and play overall from our tight end group. No doubt about it. I didn't like what I seen from the tight ends last year. Need to step that shit up. So my answer to that will more than likely be the tight ends. That needs to improve, man. For real. Because I was thinking Juwan Johnson was going to have a year last year. But you had issues with the quarterback and then Carr got hurt. And then it was very obvious, like when he was getting shot up with painkillers, his accuracy was not there. His mind wasn't there in a lot of games too. His eyes was bucking and everything. Man, the dude wasn't even. It is crazy because they try to pretend like, oh, it was just that in the third. Man, I sat there. You sat there. I called the goddamn scene what Carr looked. Seen what he looked. Shooting him up, painkillers. His eyes was bucking. Yeah, and that guy didn't even know what building he was. He was still getting knocked on his ass games with the painkiller in him. So, I mean, yeah, it was balls would sail either high or the ball would sail to the ground to be thrown in front of him. His accuracy suffered greatly when he took those painkillers. He didn't have a feel for throwing that ball like that. I could tell. But anyway, I'm a call the tight end room. Okay, let's keep it going. All right, number 13, man. Let's keep it pushing, man. Let's list up a little. And shout out to the fam. Appreciate y'all being doing this. We're going over Saints News Network. Shout out to my guy, Kyle T. Moe, chief editor over there at the Saints News Network. Shout out to you, brother. And Jay Hendricks, who wrote this really good article. Question, I was like, man, these are good questions. I need to answer this with the family members. Take my shot at it. See what we can do about this here. Shout out to you guys for being in here as well, for being in the stream as well. Y'all fill in and let me know how y'all answer these damn questions too in the chat. Right now, what the hell was that? All right. So let me see. I was at. Okay. Number 13. Does Talisi Fuaga stick at the left tackle or Trevor Penning at? I say they stick. I say they do. I think Talisi Fuaga sticks at the left tackle position, and Ryan Penning sticks at the right tackle position. I don't think there'll be a flip-a-rooney going on because the Saints want to establish stability and confidence in these young offensive linemen and start moving them around. That kind of messes with their confidence. Trevor Penning had a terrible situation that happened with him. He wasn't ready. Now, what's the difference with Fuaga this year? Well, you got to look at it. It's the offense. When you know you have young offensive linemen, you can't be doing all this passing. You got to be able to run the football and give these guys an opportunity to kind of gain some confidence because these guys, that's what they do. They can run block. So if you're running the football and you get into your play action bag, the quarterback is on time getting the ball out, that builds confidence in the offensive system. It does. So the thinking coming into this, and this is Clint Kubiak, this is Andrew Janoku, this is John Benton, all alluded to the fact that they want the Saints to run the football. Then Kubiak tried to throw the media a curveball by saying, what kind of offense you want to have? That's based on the players. What do you mean it's based on the players? So they have a idea, you know, a saying, what kind of offense we're going to run? No, I think that was a curveball because he, out of all the interviews and things that he was saying, everything was consistent except for that statement. I think he was throwing curveballs on that one. He threw a curveball. I ain't buying on it. I say I'm not buying that one because it has to be the running attack. Because Derek Carr, you can't sit up here and say that Derek Carr is the answer. Derek Carr is learning the system like everybody else. Your best chance to win has to be through the running attack, setting up the play action. That's what it's about. Getting his footwork together, his progressions together, and getting him on time is all a part of the play action model. If the offense is running the football, doing what they're supposed to do, and the safeties are coming down and run support, that leaves opportunities for him to find guys on matches or maybe a blown coverage play. So it has to be through a running attack, which is why John Benton is so important. So I do think Fuaga sticks at the left tackle position. I also think Penning sticks at the right tackle position. I don't think it'll be a switcheroni. If there is an issue, it's because of injury. I don't think Penning struggles like he did last year, the year before, whenever that, you know, when he got in at the left tackle position. I think Fuaga will have a few bumps and bruises, issues here or there because he learning the position, learning to play on the left side versus being on the right side. But I don't anticipate the Saints moving these guys around, getting all this kind of stuff. That's just confusion. I think they feel like these guys can learn these positions and execute, and I'm with them on it. Don't be flipping them all around. Unless injuries happen or whatever it is, you got to put somebody in there. It's fine. In terms of them doing what they're supposed to do, you spent first round draft capital in these guys. You got to see if they work. So I'm for keeping them where they are. Number four, how much will training camp in California benefit the Saints this year? I think it benefits them right now because it's not as hot as it would be if they was training in New Orleans or in Metairie. The weather's better. So it'll be like a vacation of sorts because they're going to run out there to chill out there in California with the great weather and all that stuff. They'll have a ball, it's beautiful weather and all this kind of stuff. So it'll be good. But, you know, that's the only benefit I see. most of the times when the Saints practice in the hardcore heat of New Orleans, it kind of hardens a bit. But under Dennis Allen, I don't know if I could say that, because at times the Saints were showing some toughness, but not the intelligence. Being tough is one thing. Being intelligent is another. You see what I'm hitting at? Because you can have the endurance or whatnot, but if you ain't got the intelligence, the situational awareness in football, that's from a coach on down, you're not gonna win a lot of games. You get what I'm talking about? So I don't think it's a major benefit in terms of going into the season for them being out in California. I think it's a current benefit. The weather is a lot better if they was in the swamp down here with that heat kicking on. So that's my call on that. Number 15, which free agent pickups will make the largest impact for New Orleans? Which free agent impacts? Well, let's look at them. But you have Will Harris is the dude I was thinking about. Will Harris, who they picked up from the Lions. Right? Will Harris can play corner, and he can play some safety for you. So he give you a little versatility in the secondary. Injuries pop up. But in terms of free agents and impact, you got to look at number one on the list to me is Chase Young. Chase Young was the biggest, splashiest signing, that the Saints had up to this, prior to, Willie Gay and all that. I'm going to throw him in the mixture. Chase Young at the money position, at the defensive end position, coming off the surgery now and supposed to be ready for regular season, that's a big one right there. Because Chase Young do what he's supposed to do and stay healthy, and I think he could because the Saints can rotate enough to keep him fresh because they deep there. So I'm going to have to put Chase Young at that as being an impact player simply because he mans the edges. Carl Granderson on one side, Chase Young on the other side. That's two big athletic guys because Carl's 6'5", Chase is 6'5", or 6'6". They're big athletic guys that man the corner. Not only do they get pressure, but they also do an extraordinary good job of playing the run. Also, you can't have the quarterbacks with escapability to be able to move out and get yardage without Chase Young and Carl Granderson running them down. Not to mention you got Willie Gay Jr. in there somewhere doing what the hell he's supposed to be doing. So that's another thing to watch out for. So Chase Young, Willie Gay, those guys are there. Outside of that, you can talk about guys, Cedric Wilson. What can Cedric Wilson bring to the wide receiver room? If A.T. Perry is not ready to stop and step into the third world, got a veteran. But Cedric been in your 5 or 6 years, been in the NFL, a pretty decent wide receiver. When throwing the ball, he catches it, runs decent routes. Don't have a ton of speed, but the dude is a baller. He can help you. So you got a few people there from an offensive standpoint. Saints brought in to help out. Like I talk about, Will Harris is another dude that brings some versatility. Secondary in the corner and safety situation. If you have injuries or issues there, you got a guy that can move. That's pretty much a couple of the guys that I'm thinking about in terms of that. And yeah, I guess you can mention guys like Lucas and the others, Lemieux, that the Saints have on the interior offensive line, guys like that. If Shane Lemieux could remain healthy, he is a guy that has tremendous upside. So if you look at Nick Seldeverid, if Lemieux's looking to challenge for a guard position and he stays healthy, price that they're paying, that's been the issue with that guy. Guy is good, he just can't stay healthy. Saints can be fortunate enough to get Shane Lemieux to be healthy, that you might have something there with him. So that's what I got. All right, so let me keep rolling this here. Number 16 says, which drafted rookie make the biggest impact throughout the camp? Which drafted rookie? Which one of our draft guys will have the biggest impact? Well, you got to automatically say it's going to be Talisi Fuaga. It's going to be Fuaga, right? Because he's the left tackle. That's a big money position on the offensive line. It's the blind side of the quarterback position. There is no bigger impact. Because the next guy is Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is right now going into the season as the dime back. So it's a big drop-off between the rookies there. The rest of the guys are more applying for depth roles. You got Christian Boyd. He'll be a player inside the interior of the Saints defense. Got Ford, the linebacker from Texas, I like a lot. He'll be fighting for a backup position in the line. Offensive lineman out of, what's his name? He's Raheem. These guys, you'll be either a depth piece or a practice squad player, depending. So, I mean, you have some pieces there, but at the end of the day, that to me is going to be Talese Fuaga. He's the drafted person with the biggest impact. Off left tackle, blindside quarterback, tackle, that's Fuaga to me. All right, so anyway, let's keep it going. Number 17, which undrafted rookies will make push for a final spot on the roster? That's very interesting. Undrafted rookies that make the final push. Which are the undrafted push for? Which of our undrafted opportunity? Undrafted. I got just going off my head, man. I don't have a depth chart in front of me. I'm just going off of remembering the Saints roster. I'm going to have to go with Nephi Sewell. Nephi Sewell, to me, played so well last year, forced Zach Bowen out of the backup position into a situational pass rusher. He plays well in special teams. When he's called upon to play in a linebacker role, he steps up and handles his business. So, just right off the top of my head, Nephi Sewell coming up off the injury, they say he's supposed to be ready for training camp. So, I'm looking at him kind of reclaiming himself and getting back in there, some stuff. So, I like Nephi Sewell. Team, he plays special teams, and when he's called upon, he plays at the linebacker position. Saturday, I guess, I don't know if you could say Ugo Amadi is another dude that was undrafted. The Saints gave him a contract. I guess you can call him that. You're saying rookies, undrafted rookies. Okay, hold on. Let me re-answer that because he says undrafted rookies. See, I was going on. So which undrafted rookie? Now, that's the question. Saints undrafted rookie. Said undrafted rookies. Okay, let me switch that up. Make the push spot on. That's a good question. Goodness, I don't. Undrafted rookies make the push team. No. Might not have one this year. Undrafted guys make the. Dalen Hawker. Dalen Hawker. How can I forget that? Dalen Hawker, the tight end. Dalen Hawker. That's my answer for that one. I had to go over it. I had to get, think about it in my head. Like, man, I'm missing somebody. I'm going with Dalen Hawker. Going with Dalen Hawker for that one. Which undrafted rookie will make the push for a final spot on? That's Dalen Hawker, the tight end. He'll get the third tight end position. That's my answer for that one. Number 18. What overlooked players can challenge for a larger role or more playing time? Overlooked players. Larger. Unoverlooked player. Bub Means could be, I could say he's overlooked. Which overlooked players can challenge up. Jonathan Abram is coming off the top of my head. Bub Means, Jonathan Abram, overlooked because people think it could be Jordan Hall, Jobs, it'd be Jordan's job. How about Jonathan Abram, who's been looking pretty good in training camp, OTAs and practice, all that kind of stuff. I guess I could throw Kool-Aid McKinstry in there, depending on how he plays. If he can stay healthy, he could definitely push people for larger playing time because he can play special teams as well. He kicks return, punt return, so he can provide special teams help there. That's what I got. That's all I got. I guess I can look at some of them back up offensive line. Those are the guys I'm going to rock so far. So, yeah. Jonathan Abram's a guy everybody's overlooked. What if Jonathan Abram takes that job from Jordan Howden, another safety position? People overlooking him. He'd be looking good in practice, just saying. All right, anyway, number 19 as we keep it going here. How will the new kickoff rule impact the Saints' return coverage? I mean, it should have some impact. Super impact to it. I mean, they'll adjust just like they adjust with a lot of other stupid rules. I mean, they'll adjust. They have some impact. I don't think it'll be major. I just think the Saints will adjust. Bet Online is your number one source for all sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on all the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.